I've not, oh, it's sort of lovely and high. thanks, Soph. I've known for a while that I'd be down to preach sometime, and I kept thinking about what to preach about, what to talk about. Let's call it a talk. and I really want to talk about God's love today. But before we do that, a little bit of congregational participation. What thoughts or words come to mind when you think of the concept of extravagance? Don't be shy. So extravagance, what comes to mind?
Big feast.
Big feast? Lovely. All those bathrooms. So maybe over the top, maybe outlandish, maybe a little bit unwise. A bit judgy of me to say that, but anyway. So here's some images of worldly extravagance that I found, I have to say, pretty easily because there's quite a lot of it around. Thanks, Heather. Ooh, look at that. That's exciting. Ooh, practical for the house cleaning. And just so individual. and this is a house called Versailles. It's in Florida. It's not quite finished, so it's only 65 million. But if you want it finished, it'll be 100 million. So if you've brought your purses with you, you know, that's possible. That's good, isn't it? Lady Gaga's $50,000 ghost detecting machine. A little bit extravagant. Paris Hilton's $325,000 doghouse. And lastly, Celine Dion's $2 million humidifier. Apparently in Las Vegas, they wanted her to be a sort of sitting artist, standing artist, one who stays. And she said, that's fine, but you need to put a $2 million humidifier in the room where I will sing. So thank you, Hannah. We can feel a bit shocked or left scratching our heads by this kind of extravagance. Often it seems unwise, even outrageous. I felt for a while that I was to speak on love this morning, God's love specifically. And it came to me this morning, it seems a bit odd to talk about love to one of the most loving groups of people that you could find. But what we're looking at is specifically God's love. It's a big topic, so let's start looking at what the Bible says. We're looking at 1 John 4:7-10. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice, a payment for our sins. God is love. It's not something he does, it's who he is. And God's love is extravagant. We can be uneasy with human extravagance. We generally don't have the resources to be extravagant very often. Or if we do, the result can be what we've just seen, a little bit foolish or over the top. God, on the other hand, has got resources far beyond our capacity to ever understand. In Psalm 50, verse 9 to 12, thanks, Hannah. Psalm 50, verse 9 to 12, God says this: I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest, every forest, is mine. and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. God not only has the resources to be extravagant, but he is, and it's a truly wonderful thing. Thanks, Hannah. We'll just look at some images now of God's extravagance. This one is Antelope Canyon in Arizona. This amazing light coming down through these beautiful canyons. Aurora Borealis up near the North Pole. This is in Yosemite National Park. Look at those colours. Just some whales cruising past an ice shelf. My favourite. Just amazing. Yeah, just God's extravagance just blesses our souls. Yeah. Thank you. Today I want to focus on the extravagance of God's love for us. How free we feel to enjoy the vastness of God's love can really depend on the lens that we see God through. To give an example, I met a lovely young woman recently who, happily, none of you are likely to know. She had a really interesting approach to her dealings with God. She was a Christian, like lifelong Christian, and a mother of two very young kids. She had a history of an unstable home life, and this had affected her. She had moved rental homes every 2 years since her father left when she was 12. She has been told that the rental home she now shares with her husband and children is going to be put on the market, and so she's going to need to move soon. She's a really natural homemaker. She's a keen gardener who desperately wants to have a home to make her own. As she was crying, she shared that she felt it was okay to ask God for, say, more patience with her young family, to ask God to help her speak better words, speak kinder words, but not to ask him for a home, preferably one they might be able to purchase and settle in long term. She felt to ask for that from God was wrong. It was too much. Listening to her, I felt such sadness for her. After all, in even the greatest of kingdoms, who do you think can approach the king for anything? Even a glass of water at 4 a.m. Who do you think? His child. This precious daughter of the king felt that she couldn't bother her father by asking him for what she needed, a home for the children that he'd given her. We are invited in to approach the throne as children of the king. God is waiting for us to bring our needs to him. In John 16:24, we are told, and I particularly look at the second part of the verse, ask and you will receive and your joy will be made complete. Do we have that James verse as well? I'm not sure if we're not, did we cut that out, didn't we? Okay, cool. We're invited to ask God for what we need, and it's actually a safe thing to do. She felt that she couldn't do this, but this is a safe thing to do. Because God is God, if what we ask is not in line with his will, we won't get it. So if we're not ready for what we're wanting, if it'll hurt us or hurt others, or if God has something different or better for us, we won't get it. It's asking him and then trusting him, whether our prayers are answered or not, that honours and builds relationship with God. So, I'm praying for a home for this young woman, but perhaps even more, I'm praying for a revelation of God's huge love for her and a revelation of his desire to show her his personalised good plan for her life. Let's have a look at 1 John 4:7-8 again. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's very essence is love. And I truly believe that when we love one another, we are fulfilling God's most fundamental wish for our lives. Let's have a look at Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus, the Son of God, the only completely pure person ever to live, was sent to die for us by God. That's such extravagant love. Which of us would be willing to give their lives for someone who despised them? Not me. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. God loved each of us so much that even before we loved him, even when we were completely against him, he sent Jesus to die for us. That's really extravagant love. The gospel, the only story where the hero dies for the villain. God completely understands everything about every one of us, and he perfectly loves each one of us, because it's not about who we are, which is a really good thing, but it's about who he is. Kathy once described God's love for us in a sermon as being as enthusiastic and joyful as the love a grandparent has for a newborn grandchild. And many of us can testify that becoming a parent or a grandparent is like a love tsunami. It's just overwhelmingly joyful and wonderful. And of course, God loves so much better than we do. The Bible again and again describes us as the apple of his eye. I think that's in Zechariah 2:8, the pride of his heart. And we're told that our names are engraved on his hands. He is simply besotted with us. He adores us. I actually initially wrote, he's crazy about us, and then I thought, not sure about that. He actually is crazy about us, about each of his children, and we don't need to earn it. He knows that we're flawed. God is merciful and eager to forgive our sins when we repent. This verse in Zephaniah describes beautifully his response to a repenting child. If we can put up. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. And I always get a picture of some desert place with people dancing in a circle, just having the best time. And that's God's response to our repentance. John 15:12, Jesus tells us, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And if Jesus commands it, it is something that we can do. We will never do it as perfectly as God, but it is something that we can do. When Neil preached recently, he spoke powerfully of God's love being an active, involved love, not just sitting back at a distance, watching and judging, but waiting and wanting to respond to all of our needs, to help us whenever we need it. God wants to be involved in our lives year by year, day by day, moment by moment. So why don't we always rush to accept it? There's that little bit of independent, or big bit of independent pride in most of us, that thinks, I'll do it myself. But God is waiting to help us in ways that we need. Just as we struggle to get our brains around the concept of the size of the universe with its millions of galaxies, I can't actually quite grab that, the scope of God's love is hard for us to fully conceive. God is love. That is who he is. And unlike human love, his love is characterized by consistent grace and forgiveness and complete understanding of who we are. It's eternal. It's unconditional. The Bible sometimes calls God's love, the Bible is sometimes called God's love letter to the world. And I also believe that there are love letters from God all around us in creation. The magnificence of mountains, of lakes, of oceans, his sunrises and sunsets, all of those to me show extravagant love. Also, the incredible provision that we have speaks of his love too. He could have just given us one food type to survive. I love food. That'd be tragic, wouldn't it? He's given us thousands and thousands, and then we can, because we're created in his image and we're creative, we can create millions of different things with those food types just to bring joy as well as nourishment. He didn't give us one type of animal, bird, fish or insect, but millions, and we're still discovering what God has done in creation. There's not one type of flower for our delight, but thousands and thousands and thousands. It's an extravagant love. Now, God's love can be a gift that we fail to fully receive. It can be like having billions of dollars in the bank without knowing it and then worrying about how to pay that next power bill, which is a tragedy. I think we're all a little bit at risk of that. I am. So, bottom line. Did I mention God is love? Extravagant love? He's the very definition of true unconditional love, and he sent his perfect son to pay for all our sins on the cross. Once we accept him, we are held safely in his love. Paul says so eloquently in Romans 8, 38 and 39, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the God is love that is revealed, from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Not even our own deaths can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Can we have that picture? Okay, so I love this picture. This is a great illustration of God's love hovering over us. It was entitled, "Fear nothing in front of you because of who's behind you." And I guess the thought I want us to take away is that when we love each other in response to God's love, we are fulfilling God's most fundamental wish for us. So let's pray. Father, we praise you for your consistent love. Thank you that though we are incapable of being consistently good, loving and righteous, you are all of those things and you care for us every second of every day. Thank you for sending Jesus to perfectly display your love and to pay for our sins. Forgive us our sins, Lord, and bless us with a deep, deep knowledge of your love for us. Help us reflect on your extravagant love. Sorry, help us reflect that your extravagant love to the world more and more. Lord, help us to love like you do. In Jesus' name, amen.